Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome back to Big MarTech. We are picking up our next three-episode series here, diving into the age of AI and MarTech. We're going to have three episodes that unpack this new wave of artificially intelligent technologies and how they collide with MarTech. We'll look at areas such as, well, what are three things really disrupting marketing? Certainly, there's generative AI applied to content. We'll cover that here today. And then in the next two episodes, we're going to look at what's happening here around generative AI with software and close out this three-episode adventure with a deep dive into where things are headed with generative AI experience. My good friend Juan, how shall we kick this off? A little context setting for what's happening in generative content?
Well, I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of a challenge to do some context setting because as soon as we establish some background, it changes all of a sudden. This category is moving so quickly and the innovation is happening in days and hours, not weeks and months or years. And so it's quite a unique moment in time for MarTech, I think, right now. I think a lot of people are kind of scratching their head and going, how do we make sense of platforms like ChatGPT or Midjourney or DALL-E 2 or Google's Bard? You know, it's been an incredible season of innovation just over the past 3 or 4 months. But perhaps we can start with a bit of a definition of generative content. Scott, how would you describe generative content for our listeners?
Yeah, so we've now finally gotten to the place here where a lot of AI that we've been using for the past, you know, let's say particularly for the past 5 years in MarTech, have largely been these sort of machine learning models that were applied to analytics for things like clustering, you know, what is the propensity score for this, you know, particular cluster of prospects or customers? How do we make predictions on what their next behavior was going to be? Super useful stuff. And we could do a whole series, probably will, on how that technology is continuing to evolve. You know, but these generative AI models, these large language models, they've really been using this deep learning technology to get to a place where they're able to synthesize, really create new things based upon incoming commands, based on all the deep learning training that they were built on. These models are just absolutely massive in size, which is why, yeah, they've been by the large companies, you know, like Google, OpenAI getting billions of dollars of funding from Microsoft. And so, now all of a sudden we're able to make these requests to these models and they can write whole papers for us. They can generate custom images based on our descriptions. I mean, well, we'll have to go through, like, what are some of your favorite examples of this one?
Okay, before we get into the range of different generative AI, generative content type products, we need to talk about the growth of the category. And there's two big stats that I talk about all the time when I'm thinking about just the exponential growth of generative AI software. And that is the tremendous amount of accelerated growth coming from ChatGPT and OpenAI, the parent company. To give you two stats, the first is that ChatGPT is the fastest ever growing app to get to 1 million users. And that was back in November. It took only 5 days to get ChatGPT. It's a text box. You write prompts and then the AI gives you information back. It only took 5 days. In comparison, it took Instagram 200 days to get 1 million users, the second fastest growing app in the world. And so if you look at that, the rate is incredibly fast. And that was when ChatGPT launched late last year. But now we're a few months in. ChatGPT is also the fastest app to get to 100 million users. From December, January, and February, it only took 3 months to get there. And so 100 million user app is huge, you know, and I think it justifies OpenAI's valuation in the billions now, in the tens of billions, because it's a consumer app that nobody saw coming. And I think that's absolutely fascinating. But let's talk about the range of different AIs and generative content software out there. So as I mentioned, one of those is ChatGPT. We also have Google's Bard, which was just recently announced. We have Microsoft's Bing, which uses OpenAI's GPT-4 technology. We have video. Meta's been working in this space for generative video. You write a text prompt, it creates a short video for you. That's probably the least mature category because it's extremely hard for an AI to create video, but it is getting there. There's some fascinating videos coming out. We have imagery from the likes of Midjourney and others that you write a text prompt, you know, even Adobe's Firefly, which was announced 2 weeks back. It's not just text prompt to create images. It's a whole creative suite of tools to automate and change images out. We have animation and games. So Unreal Engine is one of those areas where you can take photos and videos and AI will create 3D models for you for games and animated movies. Audio and music. Again, you know, we're having so many interesting sort of deepfaked podcasts and music tracks come out recently. And also the ability to generate net new content as well with audio. That's also a really incredible space. So if you think about it, you know, there's a few different ways to think about generative content. Text, video, imagery, animation, and audio as well.
It is fascinating and so many coming out so rapidly. I feel like the MarTech landscape, if we include all of these generative AI solutions, is going to double in size. And so maybe that's actually a good transition to like how we see marketers particularly using these technologies. It feels like the area that's been most immediately impacted is what we call the content creation pipeline, the content creation process here, where despite some of the hype and fear mongering, in a lot of cases, it's not that the software is being used to take marketers out of the loop, but rather it's augmenting the powers of these content creators to, well, a couple things. First of all, be able to just like dramatically accelerate the speed of production. You know, this ability to, instead of hunting around for an image, have an image created the way you want it. You know, some of these tools like, Runway, you know, or Descript, you know, that makes it super easy for like a non-technical editor to be able to take their content, you know, get it really polished, be able to convert it into multiple formats. So purely from a just like a production acceleration perspective, this is a real boon to most content creators in marketing. But I also find it super interesting for higher up in the funnel, like marketers using these tools as part of the creative process to brainstorm new ideas, to almost use some of these tools like ChatGPT as a kind of sparring partner. Well, let me ask ChatGPT about this and see what it has to say and use that to really kick off a much broader set of considerations in what they might create. What do you see, Juan?
Yeah, I think that there is a really interesting new way of thinking about content creation. I call it the content creation supply chain with AI. And I think there's four layers to it. So the first is ideation, as you mentioned, you know, using ChatGPT, using Midjourney to mock up concept, mock up ideas, to get some feedback, you know, extrapolate, say, a paragraph of content and into something that's a little bit more fleshed out. You know, there's a whole bunch of products that support that. You know, Google's Bard, Lex is a sort of an AI writing supporting tool. You know, so the ideation piece is first. The conceptualization is the next bit here, which is how do you actually start doing the actual creation of content? So beyond just prompts and ideas, you can use these tools now to create full essays. You can almost, in some instances, write entire books with these tools. Also, you can create images with them as well, you know, and you can start to refine them. So Midjourney, as an example, has an iteration feature where you can start with one image, you get a few options, and then you can select one and then start refining that one, which I thought was quite interesting. Refinement is the next step in that process, looking at getting feedback, you know, like asking, hilariously, this week I actually asked ChatGPT for feedback on one of my essays. And you know what, Scott? It didn't give me any good feedback. It kind of gave me, you know, this is a great essay. It summarizes this on that. And I'm like, I asked it to be more critical. And it actually was very critical, which is really interesting, right? Like you get this back and forth with feedback where you've never really had before. So it's that summarizing of content. content. It's that image upscaling as well, you know, getting to sort of photorealism with a lot of the generative imagery at the moment. And then production, you know, and you touched on a few apps. Descript is one of those. Pixis is another. Bria is another, which we'll touch on a little bit later. But production is, how do you actually get this into channels and how do you get it to a polished final product? Descript does a wonderful job in that you can take an entire video, an audio clip, it'll use AI to transcript it all for you. And then if there's any gaps or missing pieces in that conversation that you have, or whichever clip that you record, it can automatically fill that in with your voice without you having to speak into a mic. And so you've got this incredible way of thinking about how to use generative AI in a content creation process, you know, from ideation, conceptualization, refinement, and production. But I'd want to touch on one more thing, which is, it's not just a new process. I think it's also new types of jobs. But Scott, tell us about prompt engineers. What are those? What is this new job?
Yeah, well, you know, the descriptions you feed into these generative AI tools to get the ideal outcome you want. Yeah, it is a bit of an art and a science unto itself. And so we've come to refer to the people who get really good at this as prompt engineers. Prompt engineering is a job. Yeah, this is one of these things that was not on my high school guidance counselor's list. And there was just a story in Bloomberg the other day here that, like, you know, these roles, actually the people who are really good at it, they're in super high demand. Yeah, this story in Bloomberg was talking about people getting salaries upwards of like $335,000. And that actually they noted, like, hey, even like a liberal arts graduate can like get this sort of job in high tech. You don't need to have like the computer science degree. So yeah, it is a whole new world there. But I think one of the things that gets really exciting here is, you know, when we start to think about this, you know, for content creation, you know, that's still sort of been in this mode of like, oh, well, we're creating content and all the content is for all the people. But my sense is that some of the most exciting opportunities are starting to emerge here is, how do we apply this to real personalization, right? Like, for 25 years, you know, since the web came about, you know, marketers have been like, one-to-one personalization, we're going to get there. But most personalization really hasn't been that personalized. Is this now an opportunity for us to finally fulfill the dream that marketers have been reaching for two decades?
Well, I think that is a really interesting question. Personalization has always been about how can a brand orchestrate data and experience so they can deliver something that's personalized for a customer. Now, if you bring an AI into that picture, all of a sudden, the brand doesn't have to work so hard. I mean, you know, if you're looking at from a content perspective, going back to Bria as one example, so they integrate with DAMS, asset management platforms, and they allow you to customize a single image asset, as an example, into a variety of options using AI. So let's say you're a global marketer and you're doing the single campaign across a variety of countries in a region. You can change the nationality of the people in, say, a creative banner ad. You can change their complexion. You can change what they look like. You can also change their background using a tool like this within your DAM, right? And so in the past, brands used to have to create those images and hire people to actually design them, create them, do photo shoots and all of that. Now all of that's collapsed into a single tool, which will swap out and generate endless variations of imagery and content. But there are a variety of other options out there. Perhaps, Scott, do you want to touch on those?
Yeah, well, like one of the ones we were just looking at here a little bit earlier was Tavis AI. So this is something where, yeah, you record a video. It's got, you know, your voice on it, you know, but then it's able to interpolate from that and generate, like, literally hundreds, thousands of variations of that video. And so now to be able to, like, yeah, send truly personalized videos to a large list of people that come across as like a legit video. Hi, Juan, you know, it's Scott. I just wanted to tell you about the special sale we're having tomorrow. You know, can I count on you to show up with your credit card? I mean, and this stuff is still early. I mean, it's pretty impressive for what it is now, but like, it's still like really early. You can see just with another generation or two of iterations here, like, this is going to be legit.
And then, you know, if we take out this idea of like customer support and generative content from, say, a knowledge base, which is another really interesting idea. So you can now take like the GPT-4 model, which is open sourced. You can take that and you can apply your own existing customer support FAQ content into it and create your own generative app for customers to go in and ask questions to it instead of having to troll through pages and pages of, say, customer support and FAQ content. You know, again, a fascinating way to do personalization, right? Which has very little to do with the brand outside of creating the actual IP and moving it forward with AI, you know, and see. So there's this whole new wave of, you know, what people are starting to call generative personalization, you know, which is using these AI tools to really augment an experience without the need for a lot of data, a lot of tracking. It's really allowing the customer to kind of choose their own adventure in a way. But we'll get into that in our third episode, which is generative experience. But it is a whole new world. There's so much to learn here. It's absolutely incredible. But let's talk a little bit about risks. I mean, you know, with every new technology category that's exponentially growing, there's always risks here. And I think the first one I'd want to touch on is this balance between, well, you know, in the past with the internet, you know, to distribute content, it actually became effectively free, right? With the rise of social media and search and all these other ways to distribute content online. You know, prior to that, it was actually quite expensive to get your content and your message out to people. But now we're seeing this concept of zero cost creation, which is, it's not going to cost a lot in the future to create new content. You know, again, you know, you had to hire people. It's very hard. Creativity is not something that everyone can do. But now with these new tools, it's easier and more accessible, but also it's much cheaper as well. But did you have any thoughts on that sort of balance of zero cost distribution and zero cost creation?
Yeah, you know, and so this becomes one of these things where like the economist view would be like, well, yes, you know, we make the economics of content production, you know, drop dramatically. No, don't worry. That's not going to put everyone out of work because now we'll do other things at a higher level. It's going to be interesting to see how that works in such a compressed time frame. I don't think we've got a historical precedent for that. But I think it is interesting to think of, like, you know, for instance, stuff like the metaverse. You know, one of the reasons the metaverse hasn't been ready, a bunch of reasons, you know, hardware and whatnot. But one is like what it would have taken to create all that sophisticated kind of 3D experience would have just been way too expensive and taken too much time, you know? And so it's very clear that generative AI is going to open that up. And so I wonder if one of the side effects we will see of this is, yeah, a bunch of content that used to take a whole bunch of time for us, we've now reduced the time on that, but that actually frees up us up to start to like go after much more ambitious content. But that being said, there are certainly plenty of other risks. I mean, even if we look at the opposite side of this personalization, this idea of like, oh, well, you can create these videos that reproduce your voice and your brand imagery and all this, you know, on demand. Is this also going to be a huge risk for counterfeiting? Not so nice people, like, you know, creating versions of content and video that look like they're coming from your brand, but they're not. The whole questions around misinformation and deepfakes, I think a lot of people are worried about this in the political, you know, realm. Yeah, I suspect for marketers, that's going to be a non-zero risk we have to consider as well.
And that's 100% correct. I think one of the biggest challenges here is counterfeit brand content. And we're starting to see that, you know, there was a viral video a week ago from a new YouTuber. You know, he started creating these generative videos and one of them he created was a Balenciaga and Harry Potter mashup. And it went absolutely viral. It reached millions and millions of people. And it's just all the Harry Potter characters reimagined as, you know, as models for Balenciaga. And it's hilarious, right? Has nothing to do with that fashion brand at all, right? They didn't instigate it. It was just someone that wanted to create this viral, funny video. Another one was Pope in a coat, which was, again, you know, a Pope in this incredible puffy white coat. And everyone was like, this is real, but it wasn't. You know, and so we have a lot of challenges to work through here, right? Like if you can't trust that the photos on the web are real or the content was actually written by a specific person, that's going to impact the, you know, and I think it will degrade discourse online, but I think it will also create a lot of issues for brands. And so it's not all exciting, innovative technology and so much great stuff for marketers to use. There's a lot for us to sort through and think about here, but that's for us to work through in the next two episodes, Scott. So thanks for joining us. You know, we are talking about this topic over the next two more episodes. We'll be touching on generative software next week and then generative experience in our third episode here for this particular series. You can join us on LinkedIn to add to the conversation. You can search Scott Brinker or Juan Mendoza. Jump into the comments. We'll be dropping clips in there. We'd love to get your thoughts on generative content and where it's going. But for now, go and do big things. Scott and I are rooting for you.